What a blessing to be able to be here today and celebrate Easter together. We have a really special treat this morning, so I want to ask, where'd May go? Where is she? She's hiding here. So come on. Come on up here.
Bring your family.
Come on, bring mom and dad. Tell them to come on as well. Now, I want to tell you what happened about 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Nikki and James came to us after they had joined the church just a few weeks ago. And they said, May wants to be baptized. And I'm like, well, there's a really, really important question we need to ask her. And if she can give me the right answer, we're good with that. Because it's the faith of a child, right? So, May, wait a minute, May, wave to everybody, wave. She, May just loves people, she really does. Okay, May, now why do you want to be baptized?
You gotta say it.
Oh, she's gonna be bashful? Come on.
You practiced it.
Yeah. She's practiced it a million times. Okay, well here's what her answer is. Because Jesus is in my heart.
Amen.
I'm telling you. So, part of the joy for us as a staff, and Sherry, jump right in here as well. We all get to do this. But it's to baptize this young lady in recognition that she just, in all that she knows right now, Jesus lives in her heart. And that's pretty cool. So I want you to rejoice with us in these next few moments. And Nikki and James, I need to ask you, as her parents, I know that you're all about this, but your faith in Jesus Christ, you profess that. And you're okay with us baptizing her this morning into all that she knows at this moment. All right, May. Here we go. You ready? May Palmer. We baptize you in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
No one has more cause to celebrate than we as Christians. And on a day like today, when we celebrate the risen Savior, that He has risen, and He has risen indeed, that today we celebrate also the baptism of May. And we all celebrate that. Now, when we baptize these babies and these children, it's on you all also. Mm-hmm. That you live your lives in such a way that it sets an example for Christ Jesus, for her. And that's what we do as Christians. We are a village. Okay. So as we prepare to greet her.
Pray for her.
I will. Greet her. And I'm going to pray for her right now. All right, I'll shut up.
Well, no. I was wondering if there's a response in there, but it's not. So.
That's okay.
We're just going to go right to prayer.
We're going to go right to prayer. So let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for May and her acknowledgement that Jesus resides in her heart. Mm-hmm. Lord God, as we asked her that and she shared that in her own way, Lord God, that she knows that Jesus Christ is her Lord and Savior and that He lives within. And in that, Lord God, may sanctifying grace continue in her life as we all do grow in the knowledge and understanding of Christ. That as she grows up, Lord, that she will come to a deeper knowledge and appreciation of who Christ is in her life and all of these milestones throughout her life. Lord, we love her. You love her even so much more. And we are just so thankful for May, her family, and her church family that surrounds her. It's in the powerful name of Christ Jesus we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, welcome her again, and God bless you.
Would you stand with us, please?
Savior, Son, rise to life and die.
sin had left a crimson stain, we washed it white as snow.
The sin
had left a crimson stain, we washed it white as snow.
To draw your attention to the insert in your bulletin with our prayer concern list. You'll just be in prayer for those families throughout this week. And I have a Easter Sunday prayer that I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll end with the Lord's Prayer this morning. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you that you make all things new. We thank you for the victory and the power in your name. And we thank you that you hold the keys over death, that by your might, Jesus was raised from the grave, paving the way for us to have a new life with you. Thank you that you had a plan, that you made a way. We confess our need for you, fresh, new, and again. We ask that you renew our hearts, minds, and lives for the days ahead. We pray for your refreshing over us. Keep your words of truth planted firm within us. Help us to keep focused on what is pure and right. Give us the power to be obedient to your word. And when the enemy reminds us where we have been, hissing his lies and attacks our way, we trust that your voice speaks louder and stronger, reminding us that we are safe with you and that your purposes and plans will not fail. We ask that you will be our defense and rear guard, keeping our way clear, removing the obstacles and covering the pitfalls. Lord, lead us on your level ground. Shine your light in us, through us, and over us. May we make a difference in this world for your glory and purposes. Set your way before us. May all your plans succeed. May we reflect your peace and hope to a world that so desperately needs your presence and healing. Thanks be to you, God, for your indescribable gift. To you be the glory and honor on this resurrection day and forever. Now let us pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, in the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercy. If the ushers would please come down to receive our tithes and offering.
Thank you.
One day a man was driving with his little boy, and they were going past a cemetery in the community in which they lived, and there was a pile of dirt from a freshly dug grave. And the little boy noticed that pile of dirt, and he said, "Daddy, Daddy, look! One got out!" Isn't that what Easter's all about? You know, one of my very favorite comic strips is B.C. Remember B.C. from back? Yeah. Well, one of the favorite... Well, let's see. This one. I love that. He's not here, for he's risen. Yes! Now, come on, everybody stand up. We got to practice this. Come on, that's good news. Come on, stand up, really. Stand up, come on. On three, we're going to do that. Yes! I mean, that's great news that one got out and that one's name is Jesus. And we're here today to celebrate that good news. So on three, ready? One, oh wait a minute. Don't hit your neighbor with your elbow. Don't knock the person out behind you. But we're going to celebrate this great news. All right, on three. One, two, three. Yes! All right, great. Thank you. You can be seated. Man, it's great to see you today. Glad you're here for Easter worship. What a blessing. We've got lots of guests with us today. And by the way, I want to say this right up front so that everybody can be comfortable. We're not having children's church today. Sherry asked me about that. I said, no. Man, this is a great day to celebrate as the body of Christ, as the people of God. So let's be together. You know, so the little children here, you're welcome here today. And if they get a little bit rowdy, you know what? That's okay. They're kids. I've done this for a long time, and I can yell louder than them. I promise you I can. No, so they're welcome here. You know, just, I know that it because you think everybody's looking at you. Nah, don't worry about it. It's okay. We're glad to have you here. Glad you've come. Glad you're here to worship together. What a blessing and what a joy to celebrate Sunday morning. Now, there's a couple special people here I want us to notice. I want us to just greet and welcome. One is Ian Brown. Ian, stand up. Hey, you wore it, dude. I mean, look at this. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I was thinking to myself, man, when I first got here, Ian was just a little punk kid. Now he looks like a grown man that could whoop me. thank you for being here, Ian. Thanks for protecting our country and doing all you can in that respect. Thank you for that. What a blessing. The other one that I want to introduce. I talked about her last week. So now we get to introduce her. All right? So, Natalie, stand up. Come on. This is the Kentucky Derby Festival Queen. Congratulations. Now, we can claim you as our own. Sorry, but you just have to live with that. We're going to claim you. Now, what I want to know, have they taught you the queen ways yet? There you go. All right, she's got it going. All right, very good. What a blessing today is to just be able to share together and to celebrate. I was thinking about this. We have, without question, the world at our fingertips. Technology in today's world, I think about technology, it blows my mind. It is mind-boggling what technology has done for us over the past 10 to 15 years. You know, we have these cell phone things that we put in our pockets and carry around with us that instantaneously, we can have news from around the world at our fingertips. It amazes me what I remember, some of you are going to laugh at this, but I remember the day. In fact, I was pretty jealous. We had some friends of ours that had a bag phone. Y'all know what a bag phone is? How many know what a bag phone is? Some of the young people are like, a what? It had a telephone. It looked like your kitchen phone in a bag. You put in your car, you plugged in a cigarette lighter and had a cord to it. It was cool. We were so jealous. But now, man, we've got these cell phones. I mean, the technology blows me away as to what we can have at our fingertips in a matter of seconds. But listen, you know what makes me sad about that as well? Sometimes the news that comes out, we don't get the full story. It's just a snippet of whatever somebody sees or whatever somebody wants to see, and they put that on and it made to be news. And even worse than that, with all the news that goes on in the world, with all the news that we have at our fingertips, how often do we get good news? How often do we ever hear anything that's good coming across our cell phones, across the computer? How often do we hear good news? You know, how often do we hear news about people's lives who are being changed because of a relationship with Jesus Christ? How often do we ever hear outside of our own locale about a little girl named May who's being baptized on a Sunday morning in church? How often does that happen? We never hear that outside of right here, right now. We never hear good news. We don't hear about, in January of every year over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, there's been an event that happens here in Louisville at the fairgrounds called Winter Blitz. It's a youth event. 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 students show up. How often have we ever heard, even in a United Methodist church, about the hundreds of kids who give their hearts to Jesus at those Winter Blitz events? How often do we hear the good news about those hundreds of people, young people, who respond to the call of God upon their lives to be in ministry? That's good news. But we don't hear much about that in today's techno-mad society. You know, we've got this incredible story to tell. We, you and me, us, we have this incredible story to tell. You and I have the privilege of knowing and sharing the greatest news in human history. We gather together every year to sing and to celebrate about a risen Christ. We gather together on Sundays, not just once a year, but every Sunday, to sing and to celebrate about a risen Christ. Church, Listen! He is risen! Christ is alive! Wait a minute. If I say He is risen, what are you supposed to say? Oh, well then how come you didn't say it? Let's try it again. Maybe you missed that cue. Okay. He is risen, church! Oh, that's great news. Christ is risen. It's Easter Sunday. It's a day to celebrate together as the people of God, the greatest story in the history of stories. And really, what we're talking about is a day in time that was part of a week in time that absolutely changed everything. It changed everything. The one who suffered and died for you and me, the one who bled for you and for me, the one who died for you and me, the one who was buried in a borrowed tomb for you and for me, that very one is alive today. And we get to celebrate that. We get to share that good news with people everywhere. Grab your bulletin. I want us to read a few verses out of Luke chapter 24. If you've got your Bibles, I mean, that's cool too, or your smartphone, or whatever you've got to read it on. Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to start at verse 1. But it's there in your bulletins this morning. This is the story that changed the world. This is the story that changed everything. Luke chapter 24. But very early on a Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in. But they didn't find the body of Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Catch these next couple verses, because here's the important part of the story. The men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what He told you back in Galilee." And that story just continues with the ladies going back to tell the disciples, and the disciples like not believing them, and Peter had to come and see for himself. And then I love what it says there in verse 12. Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings, and then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Well, I can tell you what happened. Jesus rose from the dead. That's our story, and we're sticking to it. What does that mean? What does this Easter story mean for you and for me? Well, it means that He came to make you and me thrivers. That we can thrive, not just to survive this life, not just to enjoy a mediocre existence. We can thrive. We are thrivers. And in doing that, He made us eternal survivors. How cool is that? That's what this story is all about. It means that He came so that we might have the opportunity and the privilege to enjoy a daily adventure with Him. Now I gotta tell you something. Listen, when I first signed up for this Jesus stuff, when I first asked Jesus to come and be a part of my life, I had no clue what was in store. I'm like, okay, I'm in. I don't get it, but I don't understand it, but I'm in. And listen, there have been things happening in my life that I'm like, I don't understand. Why did that happen? I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. But what it's given me the opportunity to do is that every day along the way in my daily adventure with Jesus, I've learned that I can trust Him. How cool is that? Come on, church. We can trust Him with our daily lives. This story means that we know His death on the cross was to give us life. You and me, life. Because He loves us so much. The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. It means that He came so that we could have the opportunity to have an abundant life. You know what abundant life is? Abundant life is life that is overflowing with the presence of God. It is a life that is overflowing, abundant with His passion in our lives. We can have that. That's for us, you and me. You hear that? Yeah! Exactly. That's right. I mean, we get to have abundant life, church. It means that this resurrection story is for real. It's for real. Listen, no other religion, this is really important. Hang on to this, you can write this down, you can put it in the bank. No other religious leader in all of history has escaped death except Jesus. None. No other religious leader in history. I don't care what denomination you want to say. I don't care what religion they want to talk about. I don't care. The only one who did what He said He was going to do is Jesus. And that tomb is empty today. Jesus said He was going to do it, and He did. Every gospel writer talks about it. A majority of the New Testament writers write about it. Hundreds of people witnessed it. Historians of that day say it happened. Josephus was one of the leading historians of that day when Jesus was around. And Josephus and other Roman historians say that there's an empty tomb. That tomb isn't occupied. Something's missing here. Yeah, of course it's missing. Jesus' body is missing because He's not there. He's alive. He rose from the dead. The historians today believe it. Listen, one said, I claim to be a historian. And I tell you that the evidence from every resource that I could find about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ is better authenticated than most facts of ancient history. That's a historian that says that. It means this really happened, church. The story's true. And what it means beyond all that stuff is that you and I have hope for today, for tomorrow, for next week, for next month, for next year, for all of eternity. There is hope for each one of us. Don't we all need a little bit of hope in our lives? I mean, we live in a pretty hopeless society, don't we? I mean, there are multitudes of seemingly hopeless situations. Maybe you've talked with people who have had health issues or a diagnosis of some kind, and they've said something like this: man, this is hopeless. Anybody ever say that to you? With a diagnosis of some crazy disease in their life? Maybe you've been around somebody that's struggling. Their marriage is just on the rocks. And they say to one another, man, this, we're in a hopeless situation here. I've had a lot of people say that kind of thing to me. And we all know that exists in our world, right? We live in that every day. We know people who are in the bottom of the barrel financially, who are struggling to get from this day to this afternoon, to tonight, to tomorrow, financially. And they say, man, life is hopeless. We have people who are struggling with their kids and in other family relationships. We have people who are struggling with tough job situations saying, oh man, it's a hopeless situation. But what I want to tell you today, because of this story, nothing is hopeless. Nothing is hopeless, church. Nothing is hopeless, church, because Christ is risen. What started a week ago as this happy occasion where Jesus is welcomed into the city, people throwing their coats in front of him and palm branches and singing Hosanna and crying out, come Messiah King. And man, it just crumbled from that point, didn't it? And it got to this place where the tragic moment of crucifixion on a Friday, taken down off of a cross, and he didn't even have enough for his own tomb. Put in a borrowed tomb. A stone rolled in front of it and sealed. And the devil thought he'd won. The devil thought he had won. He wasn't counting on God to come through, was he? He wasn't counting on what happened 3 days later. He wasn't counting on what we celebrate today. With Jesus, nothing is ever hopeless. No matter what it might look like. It might have looked like it was hopeless on Friday, but listen, Sunday was coming. We celebrate a living Jesus. And He wants to renew our hope today. There's a song that's getting some airtime on Christian radio. Maybe you've heard it, but the lyrics go like this. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, and some have been walking that road for a long time. If you've been walking this road, the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. And the chorus goes, if you've got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. And I want to add to that by saying, look, if you've lost your hope, He is a hope restorer. Listen to what Paul wrote. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. This is some cool stuff. Listen to this. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we are a sorry lot. I love that. I mean, that's telling like it is, isn't it? If this is all about just a few short years, then we're a sorry group of people. Listen, let me keep going. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. Did you hear that, church? Oh, wait a minute. Let me read it again because maybe you missed it. The first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. One got out and there's going to be a bunch more follow him. There's hope. And then Peter wrote, what a God we have. And how fortunate we are to have Him, the Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have been given a brand new life. We have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future, I love this part, starts now. The future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all. The healed and the whole. There is hope. There's hope. A long time, a longtime missionary, was talking about this guy who had become a brand new Christ follower. And some of his friends said, "What are you thinking? Why would you want to follow Jesus?" And he looked at them and he said, "Okay, let me just answer it by saying this. Suppose you were going down a road and suddenly the road forked in two different directions. You didn't know which way to go. At the fork in the road, there were two men standing there offering you directions. One's dead and one's alive. Which way are you going to go?" Listen, on Easter Sunday, we have to make that same choice. Which way are you going to go? Choose wisely. Choose wisely. Let's pray together. Mel, would you offer our prayer for us?
Father God, we just thank you for today. Lord, this week is what we're about. It has set the stage, Lord God, for the raising of Christ and the saving of the world, Lord Jesus. And today we come together in remembrance of that. We ask, Lord God, that you would bless these elements, that we would use them in a way that would allow us to remember who you are and what you have done. Father God, relieve us of our sins. Father God, pour out your graces upon us as we partake this communion together. Bless it. And help us to remember the sacrifice and the risen Lord today. It's in the powerful name of Christ Jesus that we pray these things. On that Thursday in the upper room when they gathered for the Passover meal, Jesus took a simple thing off the table. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you, for the forgiveness of sins of all."
And right after he took that bread and broke it, he raised a cup in front of them and he blessed it. He said, "Take and drink, all of you. And remember, your sins are forgiven. Take and drink." Well, those who are assisting us in serving communion this morning, would you come?